Here we are, break number 13, and we are looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we should be encouraged by now. We should have been reminded, if we're letting ourselves be shaken, if we're letting our mind get all scared and shaken up or shooken up, we should have been reminded, if we're letting ourselves be troubled. And for those that let Paul trouble you, that's not the way it should be. We should be encouraged by Paul. We are not waiting for the day of Christ. We are not waiting for the second coming of Christ. We are anxiously awaiting the rapture. And if that doesn't take place in our small lifetime, then we will have the dying process or the sudden death, and after that comes the judgment seat of Christ. We're not worried about the second coming of Christ. That is not our problem. So, we're looking at verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. What's the cause? Well, God shall send them strong delusion. That, there's your cause, that they should believe a lie. God is not sending a lie to people. God is not a liar. God is not sending people a lie. He's sending them strong delusion. For this cause, because they're going to believe a lie. The men are preaching a lie. The pastors are preaching lies. The teachers, the preachers, the parents, everybody is teaching a lie. So because they're willing to believe a lie, God sends them strong delusion. Why? Well, verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. So if these people don't want to believe the truth, and if they want to have pleasure in unrighteousness, like it says in the rest of verse 12 here, then they're going to believe these people, and the result will be they will be damned. It's that simple. That's the tribulation time, folks. That is not today. Sure, people still need to believe the truth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 is the truth that they need to believe. But there is no strong delusion that has been sent yet. Unless we're seeing it in a small fashion, could it be global warming? Could it be that stuff? Could it be the Bible versions? Could it be this whole global emphasis? Is this what's got the strong delusion? Because people believe this stuff to be real. You look out in the news and you watch the news and you see these young people in colleges, they're believing lies. Whether God has sent that strong delusion by now, I can honestly say I don't believe he has, because we're not during the time that he will send it. But is it building up? Or maybe there's some new big delusion that's going to enter into this whole picture because everybody is so believing lies. Maybe there's still a delusion that's yet to come. But I got to tell you, it isn't our problem. We don't believe lies because we understand the truth. King James Bible, I'll say it a million times, King James Bible, rightly divided, looking to Paul, we get our comfort, because this is what we're going to see here in verse 13. So he finishes, he says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. By the way, is God sending that delusion so that they will be damned? Is he doing that to damn them? No. Just read, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. So the devil's behind these lies, and they will be damned along with him. Although for some reason, this devil is such a goof that he doesn't realize, he really thinks he's going to win this thing. If he would just read his King James Bible, at the end of the Bible, he would realize he loses. But for some reason, he thinks he can pull this thing off, and he's going to take the people down with him. But remember, in Revelation chapter 16, people are going to be part of his army. Isn't that just a horrible thought? A person who thinks they're a Christian today, based on all these new gospel teachings, you know, and all this new stuff that's being brought up again. Shouldn't say it's new stuff. It's just being emphasized more now than ever before, this Great Commission, which was started by a Baptist missionary, by the way. That they're going to find out that when they die, they think they're going to be with the Lord forever, and they find out that they're in the devil's army against the very Savior they thought they believed in. And they're going to find out that they were wrong. They will be damned. They're not believing the truth. They had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, sidelight, bunny trail here. We find ourselves having pleasure in unrighteousness. If you just read Paul, you find out that we do things that we still ought not be doing or participate in. Maybe we just feel guilty during this stuff, but we don't want to lose our job, lose our family, da-da-da-da. Well, just be glad you live when you live, because what you're doing will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. We can be thankful for that anyway. Okay, let's get on to verse 13 here. This is to us. This is the encouraging part. But, after all those verses, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation? No, that is not what that says. That says, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's always been the case. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about that. It's not that he chose us to salvation, which the election crowd, the Calvinist crowd says, but our salvation is because of sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Ephesians 1:13 is the truth according to Paul's dispensation, and it says, in whom ye also trusted in Christ, verse 12, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So you heard the gospel of your salvation. You heard the truth. You believe the truth is the King James Bible. And I just have to ask people, do you have the word of truth? Do you have an NIV? That is not the word of truth. RSV, that is not the word of truth. Is your pastor preaching and teaching the word of truth? Is it the gospel of your salvation? King James Bible is the gospel of our salvation. We heard the word of truth, in whom, trusting in Christ, also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, etc., etc. So when he says here in verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We have that truth. Our belief in that truth. Rest assured that if the King James Bible is not the truth, then none of it's true. In the sanctification of the Spirit, God made us his righteousness. He gives us the Spirit of God. It says there in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, sealed to that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Just the earnest, just a small part. So we have that sanctification of the Spirit. Is it based on our works, as it was in the Old Testament? Will it be based on their works during the tribulation? Yes. But today, during this dispensation of grace, Ephesians chapter 3, is it based on our works? No, it's based on the Spirit of God. So we've been chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And today, the truth is, King James Bible, rightly divided faith in the risen Savior. And the word of truth is a King James Bible. So there's our comfort, folks. There's our encouragement. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a marvelous chapter. It reminds us not to be tricked, not to be deceived, not to be shaken, not to let our minds go nuts over this stuff, not to be troubled, because this is tribulational stuff. We don't have to worry about that. Then he gets into some detail. Then he comes down here to verse 13 and says, listen, folks, you've been chosen through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, that's Paul and those guys, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we deserve this? Not at all. Do we have this? Yes, based on a rightly divided King James Bible. And we're living in tough times, no doubt. We're fortunate up here in North Dakota. For once, I think it's because it's too cold for all this stuff to come up here. But I know that they're up here somewhere along the line, and the day's coming. But in the meantime, if we can just put up with this 20, 30, 40 degree below weather up here, we don't have to deal with a lot of stuff that you folks out there are dealing with. We don't have all these various Baptist churches on four on a corner. I remember that when I went to visit in North Carolina. Baptist church on every corner, parking lots, gymnasiums, the whole spiel. All this worship that's taking place, all the stuff that's going on in churches. Well, I was a pastor. I was part of that. Then I got out of that and maintained being a pastor and found out that even though the people were excited about Paul's gospels, his teachings, his doctrine, they did not want to hear what Paul said about our manner of life. And so I'm out of the church scene. I'm out of that local assembly scene. And that's fine, because what's going on in these churches today is false gospel, false worship, false God, false Savior, it's the Antichrist, false Bible, false music, does not please God, and I believe it produces a false Christian. And they will be finding this out after their death, or as the tribulation takes place. Will millions disappear like it was once taught 20-some years ago? No, I don't believe millions will disappear, just a few. Because not many want to hear about the goodness of God. And that's through Paul, Romans 11:22. And the Gentiles be cut off. I don't think people even recognize it. They won't even miss a few of us that are left. Just be thankful you're part of that crowd. You're not worried about the coming of Christ. You're not worried about the tribulation. We're just concerned that being part of the falling away is a challenge. It is. But Paul says, listen, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that glory. Therefore, brethren, he says, and we end with this, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions. Christ hated traditions. Traditions is being used here in the fact that this is what Paul teaches. These are his ways, the manner of life. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. We have the epistles of Paul. Those people had Paul's words back in his day. 1 Corinthians 13:10, that which is perfect, now we have that. We have been taught by the ways of Paul. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So we still need to stand fast in the right thing the best we can, and not to be shaken in mind or be troubled. This is a marvelous chapter. I hope you stick with it and read it as often as you need to. And for us today, probably every day. And just be thankful.